He's been in here several times. Adam Carolla. Man, if I could just rattle off his resume, it'd take me about an hour and a half. But frankly, we're talking about Shelby American, the Carroll Shelby story that came out recently. It's a fantastic documentary, Freak Nation. If you haven't seen it, spend some time and just debrief with it. It's the story on Carroll Shelby and really how it came to be with him tying in with Ford. And Adam Carolla is part of the producing crew with this movie. And Adam, what did you find with those that you interviewed and spoke with? Was there one single thing that seemed to resonate with all of these people that you interviewed, whether it was Mario Andretti or other drivers or manufacturers, that they had to say about working with or about what Carroll Shelby did?
Well, you know, there were two sides to Shelby. Like, there was the great driver and a guy who knew how to put people and cars and engine, big engines and small cars together. And then there was like the fast-talking used car salesman side of him, where he would just talk everyone's ear off and get Ford to give him, you know, he'd tell Ford he's got a bunch of AC Bristle chassis waiting for their engines, and he'd tell AC Bristle he's got a bunch of engines from Ford and they're waiting on them. And like, he just had a way of dealing with people and making deals that, I mean, obviously, you know, the Shelby name is still strong. There's a Shelby Mustang that's out now that's an insane track weapon of a car. But I mean, so it was this great race car driver meets great constructor meets sort of P.T. Barnum.
In a weird way, Adam Carolla, it's what drivers are now, meaning drivers have to be able to sell themselves, sell sponsors, and sell themselves to manufacturers, something Carroll Shelby was doing 60 freaking years ago.
Yeah. Well, at the beginning, he was getting by on just being a great driver and kind of moving up the ranks. Once he won Le Mans for Aston Martin in 59, then he had his heart situation. Doctors gave him 5 years to live and told him he couldn't race anymore. Now he had to really start selling because he didn't have any money. They didn't pay race car drivers back then, and he didn't have anything. He didn't have a pot to piss in, so he really had to get on his horse.
So we've got the movie that's making all the waves right now, Ford versus Ferrari. Compare and contrast this to Ford versus Ferrari. Obviously, Hollywood took some liberties with Ford versus Ferrari, but after people watch that, why should they come and see the realities that you guys put together in Shelby American?
Well, everyone obviously loves to watch the doc version of whatever movie they just learned about. I think it's inherently interesting that the subject is inherently interesting. And, you know, first off, you can see the real Ken Miles and you can see the real Carroll Shelby. And also you can see the guys like when in the feature, when they're like, Charlie, get over here. And it's like a 21-year-old kid. You watch a doc, you'll see Charlie Acapu interviewed, who was Ken Miles's right hand man. I mean, you'll see the real people that were around then. And also, if you want to watch the 24-hour war, that is Ford versus Ferrari at Le Mans. That's another doc we made 3 years ago, and that's streaming on Netflix as we speak.
So which came first? Because you were also, if I read this correctly, you were also part of the creative team behind Ford versus Ferrari. So I guess rank these chronologically in your projects.
What we did first is we read A.J. Baim's book, Go Like Hell, and made the 24-hour war, Ford versus Ferrari. Then when we finished that, we started on Shelby American, and that's all I had to do with Ford v. Ferrari. I interviewed Christian Bale and Matt Damon for my podcast, and the director, names escapes me this second, but I didn't do any consulting on the actual film.
Adam Carolla,
they may have watched our videos and we may have done some consulting whether we know it or not.
There you go.
Adam Carolla, part of Shelby American, the Carol Shelby story. Available right now.
Kenny. I have to pause here for just a second. Just think what people can do over the holidays. They can literally wrap up in blankets and watch all three of these flicks and just be completely entertained with your booze, but you got your wine, your beer, your whatever by the side, and just be completely blown away on your TV.
Carolla, that's like Shelby pornography, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, I'll tell you, first off, you'll be a Shelby expert when you're done with these two movies or three movies. And you can get, obviously you can go to Ford v. Ferrari in a movie theater, but if you want to see Shelby American, you have to go to Chassis, and that's chassy.com, and you can stream it there, or you can buy the DVD or the Blu-ray. Hell, you can get a poster there, and all the other movies are available there, too.
Uh-huh. Again, Freak Nation, that's chassy.com for Shelby American, the Carol Shelby story. I met Carol Shelby two times, and I think one thing that you touched on initially, the radiation of warmth that comes from Carol Shelby, for me, was his biggest selling point. He could sell me a rotten freaking watermelon, and I'd believe him that I could run that watermelon 300 miles an hour. His personality was second to none when it came to the automotive and motorsports world, Adam.
Yeah, well, it's high time, you know, somebody made a definitive feature on the guy. And, you know, I made two docs on him, and I watched Ford v. Ferrari. And, you know, they probably took a little artistic license here and there, but it was pretty accurate film. And the one we made is super accurate because he's in it, he's talking, and we also got a lot of archival stuff because we work with the Shelby family. So we got to work with Aaron, the grandson, and the son, and we got access to a lot of stuff that they had that wasn't.
I think one of the comments that I saw from Aaron Shelby in regards to Ford versus Ferrari was just that they took some liberties because that's just what Hollywood does, and he feels there was justification in the Shelby American, the Carol Shelby story, where really they were able to color it up with more of, well, the words coming out of Carol Shelby's mouth.
Yeah, we found in a long-form interview he did, and we're able to lay it over a lot of the archival stuff, and it ends up playing as if Carol Shelby was still alive and we interviewed him for the documentary.
Adam Carolla, after looking at all this documentary footage, what do you think was the biggest hill for the Carol Shelby crew and everyone to go to Le Mans and win? What do you think the biggest obstacle was for them?
Well, obviously having a car that had just never done an endurance race that way. So, I mean, I think if you have a budget, you can make a car fast, but how do you make it last? You know, that's not really a budget thing. That's kind of a trial and error thing, right? Ferrari had all that experience. You know, they knew all the parts that would fail. And it's kind of funny. I think in the 24-hour war, we interview Ferrari guys who have never been interviewed before, like his son and, you know, one of his chief engineers and stuff like that from back in the day. And we interview him in a room that Ferrari had where he'd have parts that failed. And it'd be like he'd put them up on the wall. Like, he'd put them up in display. And it was like, it'd be the wall of failure. And all the parts that didn't work and broke and gave way or whatever. And he always had them out on display so everyone could stay humble and realize that they made mistakes and what those mistakes cost them. And, you know, Ford and Shelby, of course, just didn't have that with the GT40. They just didn't have time to shake it out like you would if you were spent years developing a car.
We're talking with Adam Carolla, who has worked with a number of documentaries and films in his career. We understand that you also are working with a special project involving Willie T. Ribbs. When do you think that'll come out? Maybe next May before the Indy 500?
It should be before that. There's a lot of stuff going on with that because there is a lot of interest from a lot of entities to do lots of things, and so it's got pushed back a little bit. That is called Uppity. It's the Willie T. Ribbs story, and I believe if you go to Chassis, you can pre-order it, and it's coming out, I think, on Netflix in February, but go to Chassis, watch the trailer, and go ahead and pre-order it, because I think we're shipping it pretty soon.
Why the name Uppity?
Well, he wanted to call it Uppity because they call them the Uppity blank, or N-word, and that's why he said that's what they called me. And that's what he says right at the beginning of the doc. And he's like, that's what he wanted to call it. So that was his nickname. He wanted to call it the whole thing. I was like, we should probably just cut it off at Uppity.
Wow.
Oh, man.
I remember seeing him in the pits. I mean, heck, we still do. But I mean, when he was actually a driver, and I mean, clearly that part just went right over my head. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a powerful documentary, and you'll hear right at the top what they called him.
Carroll Shelby and Paul Newman are two guys that you're infinitely familiar with, Adam Carolla, whether you knew them or driving one of their former cars. Did you find any similarities between these two guys in the documentaries that you've looked at?
No, I don't think so. Paul was very soft-spoken and didn't really like to get out there and do autographs and take pictures and stuff. Like, if you wanted to talk racing, he'd talk racing forever. If you wanted to talk Hollywood, anything, movies, autographs, he wanted to get out of there. He was a quiet, kind of regular guy who liked the racing people more than the Hollywood people, and just wanted to drive. And Carroll was obviously much more vivacious and energetic, and, you know, wanted to sell this and sell that, get out in front of the people and put his name on stuff. And, you know, he was that guy. Newman was much more, I don't want to say introverted, but he just wanted to get in the car, and he didn't really want, He wishes he wasn't a celebrity and he could just show up to the track and run like everybody else. So they were both bigger than life in their own way, but Paul was much more withdrawn, I think, than Shelby would have been.
Freak Nation, it's fantastic that Adam Carolla and crew have spent the time to bring you some fantastic documentaries, and the latest is Shelby American, the Carroll Shelby story. And I like what Adam said there, Crash. And I think it's great, Adam, that it's as if he's still alive narrating his own documentary, which is
badass.
Pretty much a kick in the nuts.
Yeah, it is. And it was a very, I don't take credit for it. Our editor found a long interview with him, and we cut it up in such a way where you can hear him just talking over what was going on. And obviously you don't get that chance when someone's been dead for, I don't know, not 8 years or 6 years or how long Carroll's been gone.
Yeah, it is badass. Adam Carolla here in the Freak Nation. Again, on chassis.com, you can watch it. You can order it. Shelby American, the Carroll Shelby story, chassis.com. Carolla, it's always greatness when you roll in here. Thanks for doing this, bud.
Thanks. It's two S's and a Y, by the way, with chassis.
Right.
Not spelled like you spell chassis.
So right.
Don't bother, because you end up buying a frame straightening jig or something.
I was going to bring that up. Motorsports people are going to be pissed because they're like, I go, I went to CHASSIS and it's not there.
Yeah, SSY, sorry.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, appreciate it.